It's too cold for this shit. It is cold. You don't want to just start bitching about the weather, but my God, how you doing, Kenda?
A little cold.
It's cold. It's cold. Single-digit temperatures are in today's forecast from the Dakotas to New England. Wind chill readings down to about 45 degrees below zero in parts of the Midwest and Great Lakes regions. It's the coldest it's ever been there for 2 years. In places like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, it's going to feel like 10 to 25 below. Frostbite will hit your exposed skin in 10 to 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying so hard not to talk about the weather, but I find myself every time I get in it, when I go back into a place, I just go, it's cold.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everyone knows it's cold. Shut up. You know, you just find yourself talking about the fucking weather and then you sound like an asshole. In, I don't know, maybe in my own head.
But freezing's 32 degrees. So when it's below that,
yeah, but
it's cold. And we're made out of mostly water. That doesn't scare anybody.
But the thing is that we're always surprised in New York, always. Right. It's like we're surprised when it's nice out. We're surprised when it's cold out. It's like, surprise, here comes the winter season. It's mid-January. It's going to be freezing. Guess what? In February, it'll probably be just as cold or worse.
Well, CNN took boiling water. This is absolutely true. They throw it in the air, and the mist particles freeze mid-flight.
No.
Yeah. It's a little scary that it's that cold. And then you have Sandy that, you know, wiped out all these homes. Those, a lot of those people, you know, can't restore heat. This is going to go on for the rest of the week. Mm. You're throwing boiling water up in the air and it freezes.
I tell people like I'm mad. It's cold.
Yeah.
Like they did it or something.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I picked today to go out to two events.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. John and Molly Neffel have a live show, and A Brief View of the Hudson is having their CD release, and I'm going.
Do they have a hot chocolate special?
I'm going to make a hot chocolate special.
Well, there you have it. I never gave an update, by the way, of my dad, people were asking. I said how, you know, right before a show started, my mom said, oh, your dad is in the hospital. He's getting a stint.
This was a text over, like, your wordplay, right?
Yeah, probably. No, actually, I think this went out to everybody in the family email. It's very important.
And an email or what? Email?
Email. Okay. When it's very important, you get a family email. Mm. And I chastised her for giving me big news 5 minutes before I'm supposed to do a show. That's horrible timing, of course. We've made up since then.
Okay.
But yeah, my dad had a stent placed in his heart. I believe another one. He was feeling some kind of chest pain. He didn't have a heart attack, but he did in the past, I think two, if I'm not mistaken. Goes into the hospital. They go through his groin to get inside up to his heart.
Ugh. How?
And why? No offense to my dad, but he's not a model. I mean, if he was a chess model, I'd go, okay, go through the groin.
It's so that you don't have to open up a human. Every time you open up someone, the healing takes so fucking long. My dad had to have surgery because he had cancer.
Right.
And he's got, you know, one of those sort of, you know, long lines down his belly of where he got opened up. And the healing afterwards, I mean, if he doesn't want to get another surgery, even if it improves whatever's going on now, because the healing was so torturesome. It was so, like, every time he sneezed, he thought his whole belly was opening up and just throwing everything inside.
Right.
You know, he had to put a pillow over his belly to make sure that it doesn't fly across the room. I mean, it's not happening, but it just feels like that.
There, you see it on TV, though. I'm not surprised the bruising and whatnot. Why would I want the bruising, by the way, at my groin instead of my chest? If I don't tighten the belt tight enough on my jeans... You know, you start getting these bruise marks because everything's loose and it starts slipping and sliding. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So why would you go through my groin? More things are going to hit your groin, right?
No.
Than your chest.
No.
Unless your chest bumping everybody.
No, your groin is like... No, I don't think your groin is what your jeans are touching.
I don't know. No. I can't imagine saying to the doctor, go through my groin.
Well, it just, you know, it sounds very invasive.
I didn't know what my dad was talking about. I'm like, how's everything going? He goes, you know what? Other than pain in my groin, I'm good. And I'm like, okay, that's a little personal. But then, you know, my mom told me what that meant.
You were confused because you didn't get that email.
I'm like, okay, I guess that's not my business. Hope mom gives you some.
Ah.
You know. I understand that pain buildup.
Suddenly your words with friends are slightly different words.
Right. Well, you got to understand why it takes so long to heal. These doctors, when you see a medical procedure on TV, they are not very careful with these bodies, it seems. Whether it's something like liposuction or something like you have to go in and fix you because you had a heart attack. They're very willy-nilly with these organs. Like when you see a liposuction, they're just jamming. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
They jam this little vacuum cleaner hose, and they're really... And I'm like, that is going to hurt later. And of course, they're all black and blue and bandaged up because you could be a little nicer, you know? With the vet, I mean, you see them open up the body, and they just put these organs on the table. They're like, we're going to put it back in. Well, quit punching my dad's organs and be a little gentler about it, and everybody would heal a little faster. I guarantee it.
They must be. I mean, obviously, they're working to get people more and more comfortable during these things, but they must be working through some kind of computer because they're not opening him up, so they can't see him. So they've got to be doing some sort of... looking this way and proceed, and the procedure is this way.
You don't think that camera's bumping into other organs?
I don't know, man. I don't even know where the camera is. Like, why do I have a camera in me? I mean, it's all, you know, good, innovative, you know, forward-moving, technology-driven wonderness.
Do you think they're just bored?
Like, yes, that's what I think.
I wonder. Instead of just going in and taking care of the problem, they're like, let's see if we can do it through his nose. They're just, hey, I'm going to do this one through the asshole.
I don't know.
It's the back of his shoulder. Yeah, let's do it through the asshole.
One time I saw someone shortly after their breast reduction, and she was telling me how they went through her nipple, and I was like, "What? I don't even know what that means." She's like, you want to look? And I go, what, they removed your nipples? She's like, yeah, you could still kind of see it. Her nipples were hovering.
Mm-hmm.
Hovering. Waiting to be healed and more attached to the boob. It's amazing.
Here's a doctor writing in. The reason why medical procedures aren't done so carefully is because they're paid by the job, not the hour.
Mm.
So if you get, you know, just be haphazard and sloppy and the body will heal. Well, it can heal a little faster if you were nicer.
Move it or lose it.
I guess so. They have other stuff to do. Let me tell you about people who do care, if I may. Vistaprint, whether it's something personal, whether it's for your business cards they have. They have calendars. And when I say personal, my fiance made me a Vistaprint calendar. We have it up like it's art. You know, magnets, everything for your business that you get personalized, that you can make yourself on their website, and it's easy. We did it, and we don't know what we're doing. They're going to take care of it for you. Orders over $30 when you go to vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. You get 50% off. You get free shipping on your entire order. Satisfaction is guaranteed. If you're not happy, they promise to make it right.
And that's the biggest nerve-wracking part, right? Like, you know how when you go, let's say you're buying even tickets to the movies. How many people do we know fuck that up, right? So you order the tickets. You're afraid. I go through it when I'm booking flights. I'm afraid to hit enter. I'm afraid to hit book it. I'm afraid that they'll charge me. And then they look and I forget, you know, it's a.m. and not p.m. And because of the time change, I'm getting there too late. Or whatever it is, I'm bugging out about it. But if they said, hey, you mess up and we'll fix it, I'd hit that enter button a lot faster, you know, and then feel good about potentially messing up my own thing.
Yeah, I remember looking at a flight, and I go, oh, there's only like 4 minutes between the in the layover. Am I going to make it to the next flight? And they look, and they go, yeah, dum-dum, because you actually have 24 hours to wait. And I'm like, oh, okay. Why did the computer let me buy this ticket? Everything else is, are you sure? All right, well, I'll go sleep somewhere for a day. And that was Kiev, by the way. Oh, a horror show. But anyway, these guys will take care of any problem that you have. Because again, you know, we're not artists. We're just trying to figure it out. So they'll make sure that you're very happy. Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. Check them out. It is now January 23rd. How's everybody's New Year's resolutions going?
Okay, so I assume you're asking me.
Okay.
And not combing my hair as often as I wanted to. However.
And again, this is literally... This isn't, I thought it was something figuratively.
Nope. Just, I guess, you know, in the figurative sense, it would be taking care of myself more.
In general.
Yeah, appearance-wise.
Don't go out with sweatpants. Would that be one?
Hey, oh, we're I'm still asking. Inside. I brought jeans, and when I go out, I'm putting them on.
I'm just asking.
Listen, I'm sitting at my desk all freaking day, and it's freezing in here, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to.
Because you don't care?
Because if I do my hair, I got to wake up earlier. Or if I do my hair, I won't. I have to stop working, you know, to get in the shower faster, you know? Right. So I have to, like, stop. I'm not good at, you know, stopping what I'm doing to go to the next thing unless that next thing has, like, oh, I got to meet someone or I have a deadline or something like that. With my hair, like, things are going to keep continuing no matter what I look like. But that's a bad attitude.
I get it, though. You know, I'm glad I'm a man.
I know. You have to shave your head in the end.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys feel like they have to shave every day, you know? That's a thing.
Right. It's not the worst thing, you know? I mean, most women, they get up, and it's like, all right, got to go put art on my face.
Yeah, I don't like
makeup. Before you do anything.
Yeah, I don't like it. But, you know, sometimes I look at women who wear makeup every day, and I'm like, you know what? You always look fresh. And, like, the people who don't put a lot on. You know, the people who just put, like, just a little, just to kind of brighten up their face a little.
Right.
You know, little touches, no big deal, not looking overly obsessive. I'm just like, you know what? Right on. Wherever you go, that's you. You know, here I'm just like, oh, it's schleppy. It's behind the scenes. And I make up all these, you know, whatever. And then you bump into someone. It's like, no, why are you in my behind the scenes? Why are you here? It's like, bitch, it's the fucking post office.
Right.
Everyone was invited today. You know, so it's like it's a certain comfort thing. You gotta care a little bit. You still live in society. So that's not working out so well. But I think what will help is, you know, helping on the inside, which you and Kat got me this really cool thing. What is this thing called?
Nike Fuel Band, I believe it's called. And it registers your activity.
Yeah. So
I used Kat's. I put it on.
Yeah.
And the other day I masturbated a marathon.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I think my life is very not full of movement physically right now. You know, I do the running. And even that, I've been a little more slacky than I want to be. But then on the other days, I have to actually, you know, get up and do things. But I'm stuck to my computer like a lot of people, you know. And then at the end of that, sticking to the computer, you're tired at the end of the day for no reason because you're just sitting there all day. So this is helping me. In fact, last night, I didn't reach my goal. And my goal is fairly low. Like, and I didn't reach it. And I'm like, wow, what is everyone else doing? Like, if you only go to work, it's inevitable that you're just going to destroy your insides, right? So I'm thinking, you know, I move maybe tiny bit more than your average person, but not even if I don't make an effort to it. And I didn't make an effort yesterday. And then I'm getting close to the end of the day. And I go, oh, my God, I have an hour more to reach this goal. I wrestled Lauren.
Okay.
She's like, let me help you in whatever way to reach your goal. Wink, wink, blah, blah, blah. So we're done wrestling. She's like, not what I imagined, you know, she's hoping to help in different ways, which actually has helped. Sex is a very good fuel-inducing point system.
My fiance makes us reach a certain number.
Totally, yeah. Oh, no, we're not stopping until I get, you know, a few...
It's odd that when we do reach the number, though, she goes, okay, we're done. That's a little strange.
You can always use extra fuel points, but...
You're right-handed, right?
I am, yeah.
Obviously, most people are. Your band is on your left hand. You might be losing some points, not getting credit for it.
Oh, like no, it's. I don't think your veins work different in your right than your left. I think it's just getting your pulse and stuff like that. But I put it on my left because I figured it'd be in the way if I'm using my right hand for everything.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't. You know, I'm trying. And then I also have been running like one mile almost every day starting this week, just so I can kind of get that in there.
Right.
So if I'm sitting at a desk all day, at least I know that I did that. But you're average New Yorker, so it's doing so much better than me because they don't have a car, and I cannot wait to get rid of this car. And it turns out my brother's going to buy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That fuel band, by the way, it's clever because I borrowed it for a day and I just started spinning it around with my finger. Mm-hmm. And it knows. It knows.
Yeah, weird how it knows.
Yeah, it gives you negative points for trying to trick it.
Yeah. And also, you know, I feel like I'm more sexually charged when I'm more active. So Lauren's like, did you reach your goal? Did you reach your goal? And just trying to help you out. Just, you know.
I'm almost home. You want to jog home?
Right. Yeah. And she's like, I'll jog with you. Hey, we're watching TV. You want to run while we watch?
She's running with you and she's just looking you up and down.
Yep. It's motivating. Like a wolf. It's nice that somebody wants you like a wolf.
Like a wolf salivating in cartoons. Speaking of resolutions, Kathy Lee Gifford has gone back on a pact that she made with Hoda. They do the fourth hour of the Today Show and they're always drinking wine. And quite frankly, they're drunks. They're drunk, you know, interviewing people that Matt Lauer didn't want to touch. Even even that weather guy, you know, what's his name? The black weatherman for the Today Show. He didn't, Al Roker.
Al Roker, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do, Spencer and Heidi. And he's like, okay, but I don't want to do this one. Give it to the drunk girls.
Who is it? It's Kathy Lee Gifford?
So it's Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda and Ladies Home Journal said, you know what? We're going to do a cover story on you guys, but you can't drink anymore, not just wine, anything, for 30 days.
Wow. Why?
Just to see if they could, because they seem like drunks. So they did something fun for the news, you know?
But so it's not about this magazine promotes, you know, maybe healthier living or not so much destruction or whatever. Maybe that has something to do with it.
But I think it's more to be cute.
Okay. So they gave them a challenge.
Seven days in, they catch Kathy Lee Gifford at Hoda's book party drinking wine. But so she's drinking in front of everybody, in front of producers of the Today Show that she just said on air, I'm not going to drink for a month. Just doesn't care. I just think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny because obviously they would have to have checked her or something because it's not, don't drink in public. It's don't drink. You could always, you know, throw yourself a shot. So they must have been giving her tests. Here's the thing. When you think about it, it doesn't matter because she did this for the publicity, right? To get on the cover of whatever.
Right.
But now she's in a bunch of other magazines, including newspapers, talking about how she failed. So her failure is probably more productive in getting, you know, people coming her way and looking at her. What do we want to look at? Someone who's uncontrollable and can't, you know, can't stop drinking and partying and going out and, you know, getting drunk in front of camera? Or do we want to see someone who's always doing the right thing?
She says, yes, I most certainly was drinking wine. You can't celebrate a book launch without it. At least not Hoda's stupid book, believe me.
there was a little clause there, right, for book openings and things like that?
I would assume, yeah. The book is called 10 Years Later, Six People Who Faced Adversity and Transformed Their Lives. It'd be funny if there's a premature chapter about how they stopped drinking for a month.
Totally.
Oh, Wells. I started looking for
speaking of drinking and not drinking, the marathon, I think we talked about this, a 54-hour marathon that we just recently completed. How much fucking fun was that? Was pretty interesting. It's funny, you know, when we first started this show, you used to ask everybody who came in here, all the comics, do you drink or are you completely sober? And you were always right. They either drank a lot.
Excessively.
And that was their thing, or they already finished doing that and are sober. And it was interesting to see people coming through the marathon. It's like, you look different, you sound different. Oh, I've been sober. So now we're catching people through their careers while they're getting sober. It's just interesting to hear that announcement on our show.
It was fun. This was during the marathon. I'm taking a little break and I overhear Shane Moss, for example, saying how he said this. I mean, as he's doing it, he's loving his lifestyle, but he's like, I'm drunk all the time. I love it. So anyway, I overhear that he's sober now. Mm-hmm. So that's when I come in and I go, hey, it's Shane Moss, my drinking buddy who'll never give it up for nothing. Woo! At least you're still on the team, buddy. And it's like he didn't want to break the news.
I got to tell you, he looked amazing. He looked like he was awake. And you wouldn't know before. You know, when he came in, I wasn't like, Shane, why are you looking like shit? Never thought that, you know? Never thought, yo, what happened to you last night? But when he walked into the marathon, I go, what did you do? Like, you know, this is one of your give me your secret kind of things. That is whatever you're doing, wow and wow. It's very unexpected.
And for these guys being new at being sober, they're definitely in a place that has a couple triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Glasses everywhere. Mm-hmm. Comedians, they make me drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody getting personal and talking about what affects them in life. So that was a big challenge.
In fact, their whole lives are a challenge. They work in bars. They work where they're drink minimums, you know.
Yeah, they get paid in drink sometimes. Do you want to get paid today?
Yep. Yeah.
I'll take top shelf just because. Otherwise, I don't get paid.
Brian Baldinger as a Twitter, you know, you get a little bio or whatever, yeah, either on Facebook or on his Twitter, says, I work sober in an industry where they pay you in drinks.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been sober for years now.
They, you know, comedians get so taken advantage of. You get paid in drinks, and your other perk is that you can go backstage to almost any club whenever you want.
Yeah, but you know, we produce shows, and it's because we're not the comedy club that we own the comedy club. We get all the booze money, all that stuff. It's really hard to pay comedians just based on the door. You know,
right,
when you get the door money, it's like, well, you got to cover how much the venue is charging you. You got to cover, you know, the people who are filming for you, editing, the amount of time it took to produce it. But yeah, the comedy clubs get all of it.
Exactly.
Aside from rent and, yeah, you know, their staff, which, you know, is sizable, especially in New York. I don't know.
It's shocking. I totally get, of course. I've said this before. Why comedians want to be sure that I understand I'm not a stand-up comic just because I do a big stand-up show once a year. And I do understand because they put themselves through this torture. Who the fuck am I, you know, to say I do what they do? Like, yeah, did you ever have to work a 200-seat room with no microphone? Okay, then. Please don't say you do what I do.
What's funny is if you ever get sober, they're like, yeah, but did you ever try getting sober in a bar? You know,
yeah.
Just whatever it is. KeithandTheGirl.com/feedback. You can feedback during live shows. Of course, you can find out when our live shows are happening at KeithandTheGirl.com/events. I'm going to talk about a couple events coming up in just a second, but Brother Love is writing in, Keith was great during the marathon.
Thank
you.
I
wasn't drinking and I offered for sure. I did notice, got to give it to you. Not a lot of drinking happening with you in the marathon.
Well, you got it. My body's a temple.
Yes.
My body's a temple. And 54 hours is a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And when, you know, when you crash after drinking, it's a big crash.
Yeah.
And you want to keep crashing. You can't really get up from it. So, good on you. I don't know if anyone noticed, I didn't have a drink either. I didn't have a drink at all.
Congrats.
I did have some weed about,
okay,
48 hours in. But, you know, I loved it. I thought it went really well.
Yeah.
It was a very special time for me, honestly, when I was high,
right,
during the show. I was having a blast.
There's a lot of, who needs all these drugs? There's a lot of stimulants going on with all these different people.
There,
you know,
was, but normally if I'm smoking weed, I'm just kind of out of commission. I'm done, right, for the day. So that's why I never smoke in public or, right, around people or around a party. I feel like it just retards me or,
right,
you know, it cripples me basically for socializing. But this, I was on fucking fire. And I hope that I'm not making it up, but I don't think that I was. Tech Andrew was giving me the thumbs up. He's so excited when he saw me put that joint in my mouth.
Right.
So excited.
Well, it's also easy not to drink when you have so much going on around you. I've mentioned this before. When I see shows like Celebrity Rehab and that kind of thing, and every day they're doing some kind of fun event. All right, today we're going to go
zip lining
onto a horse and then your horse ride. And, mm-hmm, like, and they do all that. They skydive. You know, everything's paid for. And they go, this is fantastic. Life is wonderful on its own. Well, show's over. Go back to your apartment. Boy, life sucks. Nothing's going on. But, right, because nobody's there to take you on an adventure every day.
There's a thing that they warn you about after you go on tour. Whether it's a short tour or a long tour, obviously, it's a little harsher after a long tour.
To scrub your dick good.
With ammonia.
Right.
No, it's that you're going to start feeling low. Because on a tour, although a lot of a tour is really boring, you're still in front of an audience every night. You know, whether it's big or small, whether it's an arena or, you know, a small venue. But people are raising their hand at you like, yeah, you're
right,
doing it. And you're doing what you love. And you get on and off the bus. And again, it's not exciting, but it is a rush every day or every other day. And they try, right, to book you every day. It is a rush. And then your life is basic. Not bad.
Right.
Not hard, like nothing wrong with it, but you gotta create your own schedule all of a sudden. That's a tough thing.
If
you know?
You kick a giant beach ball into a lamp and it breaks, you're in trouble.
Totally, totally.
Take out the garbage. I'm Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, suddenly you have to, I mean, little things. You have to decide what you're eating that day. When you're on tour,
right,
it's like, this is what's happening for lunch today. And you're like, right on, who gives,
right,
a shit? You know, you stop kind of giving a shit about it. Like, you don't even know what city you're in. Who cares what you're eating? You know, you you put in what you hate, and so they're not going to hand you that. So it's like, oh yeah, I like this.
Your wife hands you a packet of M&Ms. You don't look at her and go, I said no red. I mean, it's a whole different world.
It's funny, right? Yeah. So yeah, they warn you about that you're going to come down about it. So yeah, during those high highs, I guess, you know, you don't need as much boredom disintegrator.
Right.
Oh, so I mentioned keithandthegirl.com/events. We're going to put that on the calendar, of course. March 7th is going to be the 8-year anniversary of Keith and the Girl. And we're going to be doing something. So look out for that. keithandthegirl.com/events. Something small to celebrate. We just want to find an excuse to be around the people who have helped made it happen. Some comedians, some audience, whoever's, you know, if you're in the New York City area, look out for it March 7th on our events calendar. And also, of course, a lot of people know this. Every April, we have a bunch of events, including Keith's birthday on April 15th. And people are writing in going, hey, I'm planning my flight out. You know, I want to plan my days off at work. So for those people, I don't have a venue yet, but I'm working on it. And it's going to be April 11th will be the launch of KATG Week this year, April 11th. And the final show will be April 15th, which of course will be Keith's stand-up, and I'm opening for Keith this year.
You excited, nervous? You started writing some time ago.
I did, and you know, every once in a while I write in my head, right. And I'm like, this is so brilliant, I'm going to remember it, and I don't, and so I have to keep writing, and I'm not used to writing and then going on stage. I'm used to having like a concept and then telling the story, so it's going to be interesting. I don't like memorizing or anything, so it might just have to be like my way of doing stand-up, which I think it has got to be somewhat similar to yours, except, man, I got to give it to you for memorizing an hour's worth. I mean, I get that it's a story, but you've got these intricate little things where if you forget a line, that's a joke that leads to the next thing. I mean, for an hour, fuck, just to memorize that. You're memorizing half a movie.
It upsets.
At least.
It upsets my fiance when I forget we were supposed to go somewhere. She's like, act like it's your stand-up.
That's funny.
Skull and Crossbones saying, I've already made plans to take McNally's drinks in April.
You know what's funny is it's your birthday.
Right.
And you get less drinks than McNally ever did.
Well, the awkward thing happens.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where like, hey, Keith, can I get you a drink? And you feel weird saying yes. But, you know, if I met somebody and I want to give them a drink, I really want to do that. So it's like, oh, okay, thank you very much. You go to the bar. But next thing you know, the person's not forward enough with the bartender, that kind of thing. Their money doesn't come out fast enough. Next thing you not only bought yourself and them a drink, you bought five people that decided to hang around.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I didn't mean to, yeah.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Thanks for the bottle of champagne. I'm like, how did?
Yeah.
Or the bartender goes, so you have everybody then?
And what are you going to do?
No, yeah. Him.
Yeah. Fuck all these people who flew out to see me. No, I have none of them.
Yeah. If you offer to buy somebody a drink, have your money out for the bartender.
You just, you know, have your money out and go, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
Don't, can I buy you a drink? By the way, this is not for us.
Right.
We're not like schooling you on how to buy us a drink.
Of course.
In general, because this happens out in public all the time, you know, can I buy you a drink? I don't know. Can you? How's your job situation? Is your mom going to get mad or is your girlfriend or wife going to get mad? I don't know. Are you working part-time, full-time? Like, do you have insurance? Is this cutting into it?
Right.
I don't know if you can buy me a drink. And I don't want to say, I don't know, may you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't want to be like your asshole third grade teacher.
Right.
But what are you drinking?
Right.
And then see if that person's heading out or not. You know, you don't want to buy a person a drink on their way out. And then they're like, fuck, I got to... You know, this obligation to sit here and drink. Like, hey, you hanging out for a while? Yeah, I'm going to stick around for a while. What are you drinking? All that. All right. Bartender, blah, blah, blah.
And
there's
a
smoothness to it. And believe me, and especially if you're trying to pick up someone or even keep someone engaged or even like not, you're on a good date. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to stop the flow and not even on a date. You know, you're just getting to know someone or whatever it is. You hanging out for a little while? You can say that. Yeah,
right.
I could. Yeah, why not? Let's get another drink. All right, what are you drinking? Boom, there it is.
Look at this.
Right?
A+.
All right.
You do have to be smooth about it. It's nothing you have to, it's not hard work, but you say you're going to get somebody a drink and you both walk over to the bar.
Yeah.
Be in front of that person. They kind of just stand there. Then I go in front of the bar.
Yes.
And then I'm going, all right, what am I getting you?
Yes, and don't go after you. No.
Right.
You're the leader here. Right. You're the leader, and it's sexy on a friendship level also.
Yes.
Like, oh, this person has my back. You know, they're not just like talking out of their ass. They're confident. They're strong. It says a lot about you and, you know, etiquette, right. All that kind of shit. And they don't like dump shit on you.
My friend Adam, he got me a drink the other day and I go, God damn, that was sexy.
He's so delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that I started looking for carpets to replace. Yesterday I told the story about these they're cheap carpets that they seem.
It's not even a carpet. In my little lobby.
It's one of those rubber mats, but it's not.
It's a mat.
It's a mat?
Yeah.
It's carpet-like, though, right? It's not shag.
No, because a carpet is like more. Not even what we have here is a carpet. It's like that's more like the wall-to-wall kind.
Right.
You have your throw rug, your regular rug, but I think you're talking about what you wipe your feet on, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that more like a.
But it's kind of longer.
I see, like a hall rug or something.
Yes.
There's a word for it, like a trainer or a track or some kind of thing like that.
I would love this name for it because nobody in these stores knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Maybe our audience can help. KeithandTheGirl.com/feedback.
It's probably rubber underneath, but
yeah, it's like if you walk into a building, you have the first wipe your feet thing, right. But then you have down the hall that little piece of something. Okay,
yeah.
So that's what you're trying to replace.
Yes, please. And. You know, white paint spilled on it, so you know I offered, you know, I can reimburse you guys that own the place, or you know, I can, it's my fault, I can substitute new carpets. And unfortunately they said, okay, you can.
Yeah, they don't want to go out, it's such a to-do.
Right. I'm being told it's called a runner.
There, see, I was close. I think right, I feel like I was.
I need a black and a red runner. So
that's racist, dude.
So it seems like it's a to-do. I go into these stores, and it was late at night. Only a couple places were open, but they happen to be these real carpet places. I'm like, well, they have to have this, right?
Those kinds where you have it, like, it looks like you can buy it by the inch or foot or
yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they're on a roll where it's almost like you're getting aluminum foil.
Yeah, and you're like, well, why are you charging me so much? Look at these giant rolls, and all you did was cut it.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you the price. For the longest time, I go, oh, this looks like what it is, but I guess I need one with a rubber but on the bottom. But anyway, you know, how much, I don't know, average size, I didn't measure it. Can you give me a ballpark? It's like, well, installation's going to be a little more. I'm like, okay, well, no installation, just a mat I'm going to throw down. Okay, well, that'll be cheaper. How much? Like, how much? Let's say this by this. How much?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it depends on... you know, and I'm like, this carpet right here, how much for this, this size? Well, we can definitely work with that. Like, you have to tell me eventually.
You also have to work with it no matter what. If I'm buying something, you're working with it.
I notice places do this. PC Richards is one where I'm getting my TV set from because I have one of their cards.
They got you.
And you, they won't tell you how much a TV is until you put it in your cart if you're doing this online.
See,
so I have 10 TVs in my cart. I make an accidental button. I just bought 10 TVs because they want to get you know, a little more into the process. I'm like, just tell me how much. It kind of turns me off. Like, how much is it?
To me, that's a sign of a shady place. Of course it is. Just put it right there. Everybody else does.
You got to tell me, right? So I didn't do the carpet yet, but I will. I'm getting to it. I'm in no hurry. I didn't like their attitude, but I'll get it. But it's good to know runner. That should help me out. And I feel like those 99-cent stores should have it. They shouldn't be too expensive, right?
The little cheapy home places where, you know, some of the stuff that you buy from them is not a good idea. Like if you buy certain cups, it's like that'll only last you a month because they'll just break sort of things. But if you need other things like a, I don't know, a toothbrush holder.
Right.
They might have the right thing, you know?
Well, we have one of these houses, like everything's part of the wall. Like what I mean is the toothbrush holder is kind of, you know, is cemented in.
Ah, uh-huh.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? The toilet roll, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I like it that way. But what year were these made that nobody understands? Oral-Bs are thick toothbrushes.
Yeah.
It's a toothpick holder.
Yes. Yeah, nothing fits in it. Skull and Crossbones has a suggestion for you.
Next
time, just ask, quote, can I buy you a runner? And the store will end up paying for it for you.
I like that idea.
Love that.
And they're like, oh, you got me. And I'm like, see you later.
Just go after you.
That's right. So I was talking about how I think a neighbor ratted me out for having my friend Adam over. I just moved in. And I said, you know what? If I am too loud, I don't see how I was. then you know you could knock, or the next day, or I don't know, even throw a letter under the door. But to say to the landlord, and I can absolutely figure out who you are, I think is starting trouble and really gets us off on the wrong foot.
And I was saying that people are a little more shy than you think. They're, you know, less confrontational. Think of Tim Diamond, who every time he comes on here, he has something that he didn't say that he was so vexed about, like so fucking pissed off, actually, and just was like, I don't want to start it.
But for not starting anything, I think going to a landlord as opposed to going in person is more starting something. I'm like, you fucking pussy asshole. Now when I pass you, we're going to act like we don't know.
But most of the time, you don't know. If somebody were to call, and somebody has, only once, I believe, called, I was having a party. People were standing outside too much, right. You know, so it was loud, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's fair. And I got a letter in my box the next day, and it said, hey, you know, you're up past 2 a.m., right. Blah, 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 like noise, da-da-da. I'm just like, fuck, you know, just tell me. Just knock on my door. I would have brought the people in. But then it's like, you know what? It's 2 a.m. You're in your pajamas. And now I know you as a neighbor that, like, is a killjoy, killjoy.
Right.
Which way is it? I always killjoy. Forget. Thank you. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
Okay, but you're doing a situation where the guy's anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I have two other people in this apartment.
I know.
It's not anonymous. So when it's like that, you might as well say, because I'm going to know.
But it's still confrontational.
I'm gonna say, hey, I'm having a Super Bowl party. If you want to come down, and I'll say, and they'll go, no thanks, and I'll go, okay, but don't be a bitch about it. Bye.
What are you gonna warn your neighbors about your Super Bowl?
I don't even know. I'm angry now. I don't know. I'm inviting twice as many people now. I'm getting a 120-inch TV.
Everyone feel very lucky that you're invited to this because it's obviously an exclusive party.
People are mentioning, by the way, projectors now. I didn't get the TV yet. Do I want a projector?
Oh.
Are they as clear as a TV? Dear listeners, keithandthegirl.com/feedback. Are they as clear as a TV? I don't see how they could be, but it is 2013. I assume they have HDMI cables. I assume I can plug my Xbox into that just like a TV. Mm. Are they as clear? How could they be as clear, quite frankly?
I don't think they could be. You know, I didn't think of the clarity. I just thought it's ginormous and right. You're just having a good time. But I don't think they could be as clear. Why don't you ask? Doesn't your brother and hasn't he had it for a long time?
Yeah, it feels like a dumb question. I don't want to ask a family member. The audience knows me, though. I don't care. The poll was, would you ask a neighbor to quiet down? Yes, I'd ask directly, 66%. No, I'd tell the landlord or maintenance, 10%. Neither, I wouldn't say anything, 24%. And that's the one I picked. I wouldn't say anything.
I would pick that one.
If it was too much, it's too much, of course. But here and again, where it's like, even if it's like bothering my sleep, I wouldn't say anything. When that happens, I'm happy. I'm like, good. Now I'm in a place where I can make as much noise as I want.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we didn't even call the maintenance in the old apartment, the one that I'm still in, where the studio used to be. We didn't call him on the King of Everything.
And right, right.
And he threatened our lives.
Right. I don't like turning people in when I make a video of you, though. You know? It's like, all right, you can have this one, you know? I'm being told projectors are better. Hmm. But who knows, you know? We'll see. I read this story. A Harvard Medical School professor, his name is George Church.
Yeah, but by the way, the pros and cons of the projectors and flat screen that we were sent in through feedback.
Okay.
It's stuff that you already know. Projector pros, huge image, portable.
Okay.
You know, you already know that. Flat screens, cons, smaller, more expensive images, harder to move, less durable. But, right. You know what I mean?
Flat screen pros, you don't have to worry about watching movies with the lights on.
Oh. Yeah, the projector, you always have to have the lights off.
Hmm.
That's something. That's something. You don't always watch your TV in the dark.
Flat screen cons, harder to move. Where am I moving it?
No, but, you know, you can, I don't know. I could see moving it.
Where do we want to watch TV on today?
But you don't have, you know, you don't have a TV, let's say, in your bedroom. It's a special occasion.
Right.
You want to watch it there. It's, you know, it's kind of nice.
Hmm. Maybe I'll have to ask my brother. We'll see.
You failed him, everybody. Failed him. He thought you knew him.
I was going to tell this story. Professor George Church is a Harvard Medical School professor, and he says that he can make a Neanderthal out of DNA. If a woman's willing, he could put a Neanderthal. I guess they're right after your caveman, then Neanderthal.
Yeah, Neanderthal, the thing that I call you when you're acting like an ape.
Yeah, when a guy does something dumb, the woman always says calls you know them a Neanderthal. We can make that now.
That's good. I think we have made that, though. Yeah, we could actually make that by just leaving someone in the corner for 5 years.
He says his analysis on Neanderthal genetic code uses samples from bones, and that's enough to reconstruct their DNA. He just needs a female human to, you know, get implanted.
But aren't we all, like, Neanderthals at heart? Like, don't we learn in kindergarten not to act like a Neanderthal?
Right. Professor Church's plan would be to begin by artificially creating Neanderthal DNA based on genetic code found in fossil remains. He would put this DNA into stem cells. He would then
put it in his penis, inject someone. Right.
These would be injected into cells from a human embryo in the early stages of life. After growing in the lab for a few days, this Neanderthal embryo would be implanted in the womb of a surrogate mother. Professor Church is 58. He's batshit. He's a pioneer in synthetic biology. He helped initiate the Human Genome Project that maps out our DNA.
I feel like there's something that we're missing.
Right.
This has to be more of a reason than to just look at some guy and go, yes, this is how you were.
I mean, if you look at pictures of Neanderthals, they look fucked up. Their head wasn't formed right.
Maybe we're just learning new forms of makeup after they're born. If you have a big forehead like this Neanderthal.
He says Neanderthals were not the lumbering brutes of the stereotype, but highly intelligent. Oh, they did so much. We wouldn't have the wheel, probably. Their brains were roughly the same size as man's, and they made primitive tools. It's going to be whenever you're around, you just figure out more and more. Wouldn't they just be regular people?
I guess.
It's not, you know? It's whatever's around you.
You're making a baby. You're going to have to teach it things.
Right. So are you going to teach it Neanderthal things? Or whatever the fuck we are things? Are you going to teach it whatever the fuck we are things? A wheel isn't a big boulder anymore.
But they won't even know that. You'll have to teach them that. Right. Like, you know, any other kid that's born.
Yeah. He believes the project could benefit mankind. Oh, all the wonders. And what you're making somebody that people are going to mock, by the way. You know, it's alive, or would be. He told a German magazine, Neanderthals might think differently than we do. They could even be more intelligent than us. When the time comes to deal with an epidemic or getting off the planet, cuckoo, it's conceivable that their way of thinking could be beneficial.
Yeah, but they have to adapt to here, unless you're keeping them in a lab.
Right.
They have to adapt.
And Kardashian, that show will dumb them down, and they'll be just like us. It sounds like the start of a bad movie, where this Neanderthal gets away. Now he joins a dating site,
like Twins.
Yeah.
Yes, or what's that? Mars. Girls Are Easy.
Right. By the way, speaking of dating sites, Match.com is being sued for $10 million by a Las Vegas woman. Because she was nearly killed by a man she met on the dating website, her attorney accuses the site of failing to disclose the dangers of online dating to its subscribers.
Okay. You mean the dangers of meeting people that you don't know?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. She didn't know.
Maybe she's a Neanderthal.
See?
I'm already being racist.
Right. The complaint filed in U.S. District Court in Clark County shows things started innocently enough. He wasn't killing her. Mary Kay Beckman went on a few dates with Wade Ridley. She ended things, but he started sending her harassing text messages. Eventually, he ambushed her when she arrived home one night in January of 2011.
Wow. Why does he know where you live?
He stabbed her dozens of times in the face. He smashed her head with a rock. He stomped her face with his feet.
Wow.
He left her for dead. Less than a month later, he met another woman through the website in Arizona, killed her while being interviewed. He was surprised that other lady was still alive.
Wow. By the way, I did not mean to sound accusing of the actual woman. Like, why did he know where you live? I'm just curious how on the first date he even got that information. And if Match.com has to deal with it, then maybe she has a case. But I doubt it.
They did go on a few dates, so maybe he was polite.
Oh, I see.
But you know, that you can't see it coming.
No,
he was able to hold that he's a murderer inside on dates.
Yes, because you never...
I'd like to think I would be able to tell.
You would like to think that, but...
Yes, I would.
But people, you know, the craziest people could be the most charming. And also, you know, who knows? Maybe he got off his meds for a second. You know, maybe he got on some meds for a second. Maybe he drank that day. I don't know.
Like when McNally turns out being 100% weirdo, I look back and I go, yeah, I should have saw this.
But
when
you invited him to your house.
But, right. When John Petrie stole my stuff, I look back, I go, oh, crack it. I didn't even think. But that makes sense. When the woman is getting stabbed in the face, does part of her go, looking back when we ordered the appetizers, he took the last one. I mean, this guy's a real asshole. I should have saw it coming.
I don't know, because don't you see, you know, he was such a nice person. You know, right. when they interview neighbors about killing people, or when they interview friends about, you know, a husband who murders the wife, right. You know, it's always like, oh, no, they were so great, you know?
Looking back when we were at restaurants, whatever he was eating, soup, anything, he always asked for a knife. Looking back, something was up. Ridley ended up being sentenced for murder in Arizona. He died in prison last year.
Wow.
The lawsuit is a failure to warn case because Match.com didn't warn subscribers of the dangers. He says that the attorney says there's nothing different between Match.com and Craigslist.com, but since you pay for Match.com, people feel a false sense of security.
Like that payment is going towards checking on the people that you're talking to, even though you weren't checked on.
Right, even though you weren't vetted, all these people somehow were.
Right. I mean, I think that they will get something.
Match does nothing to ensure the safety of its people, but you pay $30, you think you're getting some type of protection. Like they're watching you in a helicopter.
Right. No, this is going to change Match.com. You're going to get a warning now that you have to click on that you never read.
Just flat out say it. As with the meeting people anywhere, you may die. Enjoy. Yeah, of course I might die. Click. I'm going to somebody's basement.
You may even die after you get married. Right. What? But after you get married, there's only lollipops and candy.
Match.com released the following statement. Huh? They say what happened to Mary Kay Beckman is horrible in the lawsuit, but the lawsuit is absurd. The many millions of people who have found love on Match.com and other online dating sites know how fulfilling it is, and while that doesn't make what happened in this case any less awful, this is about a sick, twisted individual with no prior criminal record, not an entire community of men and women looking to meet each other.
Ooh, they're ready with this answer.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
They do have safety tips throughout their website. But this lawsuit says their commercials give subscribers a false sense of security, and that needs to be changed. Mm. They clearly say 1 in 5 get married. That's their mantra. Every commercial of theirs I've seen shows two people who met who are at a restaurant happy as can be and in love. It's as if everyone on Match has good intentions, and they don't. The attorney says the pricey $10 million lawsuit is aimed at getting the company's attention. One wouldn't have done it. Which he says makes $500 million a year in profits.
They're going to get something.
Can we start a dating website? $500 million.
That's crazy.
Take the number of people in the world.
Wow.
They want to bring awareness to the dangers of online dating and pay for Beckman's more than $400,000 in medical bills and counting. Maybe that they'll do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Well, yeah. They kind of have to.
The ultimate goal is
they have to because they have it.
They have it and do it for good publicity.
Yeah.
So $400,000 commercial.
You know, ever since I saw that documentary that started off with that woman who got burnt...
From McDonald's
Gotta say, the media really does change the way you view things like that.
Right.
The thing is about...
Everybody, see this movie, Hot Coffee. It's a good documentary. HBO does good documentaries.
So good.
And, you know, it's not the only story in that, but, you know, it talks about...
It was the most popular story, that Hot Coffee thing about... And it also triggered this whole thing about how... this whole thing in the media about how, everyone's just trying to sue and, the twist.
Why are you suing, for example, for $10 million? Right. That's a little ridiculous. And, you know, you hear what goes on. You know, I know this will sound stupid if you didn't see it with this coffee behind the scenes, but you're on the lady's side. Well, ooh, we all got burnt by coffee.
Yeah, and then they show you why media, you know, did that twist and where we went from there and
I put those, we put pictures at keithandthegirl.com. Show those pictures again, Danny. Put those pictures on the website of how burnt this lady was.
This is, it has to be behind an explicit wall because
it's down to her bone.
It's hard to look at. It's hard to look at.
They make their coffee extremely hot so that it lasts longer. And they were warned about it. All that stuff. Here we go. The attorney says the price of $10 million is to get their lawsuit. They want to bring awareness to the dangers of online dating. The ultimate goal is to force a disclaimer on Match.com ads similar to warnings on tobacco and alcohol products so that people will think twice.
Okay.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of adventures at this website, and like all adventures,
right,
it could go awry.
Yeah, okay. You know, I guess we can't underestimate how stupid people are.
Right. But you wonder, like, I don't know.
I'm here. 1 in 5, you got to get married. You go on 5 dates and then you sue.
Right. Here's a composer in England. He has a piece of work that was written by birds. I'll explain because I already started. That'd be weird if I just stopped, right? He placed a scale, like he drew, you know, 5 lines, music scale, drew like 5 lines on a piece of paper. Birds shat on the paper where they ended up shitting on the line or above the line where it would make a note. He then made a song out of that, and he called it Number 2, and he performed it at an art gallery in Liverpool.
But how was it?
It sounds like dubstep, I understand. I think all new music is made this way, what I'm hearing. I mean, somebody says to him, oh, that sounds like shit. And he's like, thank you. Thank you very much. It absolutely does sound like shit. For my next piece.
It's a new genre of total shit.
You want to hear one that sounds like piss?
Piss is harder.
Oh, it's not easy.
Diarrhea, a little more complex.
It's all the notes. It sounds like an orchestra tuning up.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Keithandthegirl.com. See these pictures and everything we talk about. Of course, chat room. You'll find out how to go there, too. If you didn't hear today's show live and you're like, how do I hear live? You talk about that. You'll find out at keithandthegirl.com. Everything is there. It's an excellent site. Chemda's brother, Michael, did an excellent job. Continues to. And I promise you, you will love it. And it will change your life.
And it's also different now. So it's changing our lives. Mm-hmm. If you were ever on the mobile, on your mobile device, going to keithandthegirl.com, it was a little more complicated. Now it's clean. It's meant for your cell phone. It's meant for your mobile device.
Put it on your cell phone or go on, you know, go to keithandthegirl.com on your cell phone and then turn your cell phone sideways. It's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. It knows you did that. It knows you did that. And it adjusts accordingly.
And don't forget keithandthegirl.com/iTunes. Let's spread the word, get other people to subscribe. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. It means a lot to us, and it also helps keep us going.
Subscribing is free, of course. It's completely free. When we do a show, it goes into your phone, your computer, however you want, right away, so you don't have to wonder, when's the next show? When's this? When's that? When can I hear one of Keith's silly opinions? You'll hear it right away. Believe me. We'll talk to you guys soon.
KeithandTheGirl.com.